John chapter 1, starting in verse 6. Please listen carefully as I read. This is the word of God. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is God's word. Please bow with me in prayer again as we seek God's help. Our Father, we thank you that we can set aside this time where we come together and sing your praises together, to consider how you have reached out to us in love, to consider your amazing grace together. And we thank you that we can come now and open your word and consider this together, the truth that you have sent Jesus, the light of the world, into the world. We pray, even as we consider your truth and consider this idea of Jesus being the light of the world and consider the various responses to him, that you would work in our hearts, that your Spirit would help us to see Jesus for who he is, that your Spirit would help us to respond in the right way to the claims of Jesus Christ. May our lives be completely transformed by the light of the world and his work in our lives. We pray these things in our Savior's name. Amen. So themes of light and darkness are very common and are found throughout really any type of media, film, literature, story, even photography, right? We see these themes, these ideas of light and darkness representing something. Light usually points to life, to vibrancy, to even community maybe, relationship, love, hope. If you're watching a movie and it suddenly gets brighter, sometimes that's showing a positive element in the story, clarifying, even emphasizing these positive themes through a brighter light. And darkness, as is often used in media, usually points to loneliness, despair, danger, evil, maybe, or death. So many would argue that these themes originated in the Bible. As the Bible has had a profound influence on literature, so these themes of, and our understanding of these themes, light and darkness, really come down from the Bible. And I think we could go even further to say that these themes originated in God and are part of our very creatureliness. As creations of God, it's innate. These ideas of light representing good, darkness representing evil or bad, are a part of who we are as God's creations. We think of light and darkness in this way. It's kind of built into who we are. I think we probably could go through different cultures and the way they perceive light and darkness and how it represents good or bad, and probably support my case, but I won't do that now. But we see in the Bible, this theme is definitely there. God is light, we are told. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Jesus Christ is described, he calls himself the light of the world. In the verses we just read, Jesus is the one being referred to here as the light who has come. And then in the book of Philippians, Paul calls the people of God who have been changed by the grace of Jesus Christ to take the light of the world that they receive from Christ, in a sense, and shine like stars in the midst of the dark universe. So these themes of light and darkness come to us from God. And tonight I want us to consider from these verses, very simply, what does it mean that Jesus is the light of the world? What does it mean that Jesus is the light of the world? And then secondly, what is our response to the light of the world? Two responses here in this text. Some scurry off into the shadows, away from the light, and some are drawn towards the light, approach the light. Only two responses in our passage, only two responses in all of humanity, either scurry into the shadows or are drawn towards light. So first, Jesus as the light of the world. What does it mean that Jesus is the light of the world? And three answers here that I have for us. First, Jesus as the light of the world is the only source of life. Jesus as the light of the world is the only source of light. We see this phrase, light of the world, and immediately we can kind of relate it to creation, right? What is the light of the world now? It's the sun that's shining in my eyes, right? Matt's up here squinting, I'm up here squinting, because the sun in its brightness is shining down upon us. The sun is central to our existence though, right? Life on this planet could not go on apart from the sun. The green grass grows, the vegetation, the fruit grows, it feeds the animals. You know, the circle of life goes on. We eat the animals. Life is sustained directly from the sun shining down upon this planet. So part of this idea is that Jesus is like, really like the sun in the sky. And as the light gives life, that light gives life to this planet. So only through Jesus shining down, only through Jesus do we have light. Verse 9, He is the true light which gives light to everyone, like the sun shines over all the planet. He is the true light that gives light to everyone. Verse 4, In Him, speaking of Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. So Jesus, as the light of the world, is the source of life in the world. He alone keeps, ultimately, keeps and sustains us, both physically and spiritually. We're dependent on Jesus, the life that He brings to this world. We're dependent now in our day-to-day existence on Jesus sustaining us, and we're dependent for our eternal life only on Jesus. Jesus is the only source of life. Like the sun, like we are dependent on the sun for life on this planet, so we all are dependent upon Jesus for life itself now and life forevermore. So that's the first answer. Jesus is the only source of light. Secondly, Jesus as the light of the world is the only source of deliverance or salvation, specifically from darkness, is a theme we see in Scripture. So first, light and life go together. Secondly, light and salvation, we could say. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Jesus shines on this world. He reveals Himself through creation. He reveals Himself through His word. He reveals Himself even through the love in His people. He shines in the world, and even through these means, He uses these means to deliver people from darkness, from isolation, from the evils of this world. He delivers them from, as He says in the book of Colossians, from the domain of the realm of darkness into His kingdom of light. Jesus, as the light of the world, does this. So the Bible describes this world in many ways, many images, but this domain of darkness, which is a kingdom of division and heartbreak and hurt. Jesus comes into this domain of darkness, into this world of evil, and this world where war happens, this dangerous world. Jesus, as the light of the world, comes into the world. And as He comes, He lives a perfect life of obedience, shining His light, we could say. And what does He do? He lives this perfect life of obedience, and then He gives Himself on the cross. He goes to the cross. He gives His life as a ransom for many. And as He is hanging on the cross, all three of the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all say there was darkness over the land in the middle of the day. For 3 hours in the middle of the day, the light of the world hung on the cross, and darkness overshadowed Him. Why? Because He came to deliver. He came to bring salvation. He came into our chaos, into our darkness, into the wickedness in which we live in this world. And as the light of the world, He entered our darkness so that we could be brought into this new kingdom of light and life, of love and community, everlasting life. As we see at the end of the passage where He brings us, that we read, He brings us even to the very family of God by entering our darkness. So what does it mean that Jesus is the light of the world? First, light and life. Secondly, light and salvation from darkness. Third, light and truth. He is the only one who can give us an accurate vision of reality. He alone can enlighten our minds to the truth. He comes as the creator of all things, and he shines down into our worlds. He shines into our hearts. He shines into the world around us. And through him, we can see what the world is really like. Only through him, we see what the world is really like. We see what our hearts are really like. We see what our surroundings are really like. He gives us a right perspective, a proper angle on things. He created the world. He made the world. He sustains the world. So as the light of the world, he helps us see things as they really are. Psalm 36, verse 9. These themes come together. For with you, speaking of God, for with you is the fountain of life. It's a picture of life overflowing. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. In your light, as your light shines down upon us, as Jesus shines down upon us, as the word of truth comes to us, in your light do we see light? Do we see things accurately? We can understand ourselves, our worlds, and everything around us. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not go on walking in darkness, but will have the light of life. All these themes, you should be able to see how they all come together. Light, life, deliverance, and truth, or understanding of our worlds. I was thinking as these themes are coming together and applying them to our hearts, or illustrating them maybe, I could give you a challenge to come to my house at certain times, not all times, but certain times, come to my house, and the challenge would be to walk through my living room at certain times of the day. Right, if you were to do it in the middle of the day, it would be a challenge still, right? Danger lurks, Legos, dolls, various toys that you have to carefully walk through the living room to get from one end to the other. But it would be an even greater challenge if you were to do that in the darkness, which I've tried, right, to my own demise. Stepping on Legos are always the worst. The corner of the Lego, it's a good test of character. Or maybe we could think of the great kid's book, one of my kids' favorite, Going on a Bear Hunt, where you go through various, areas. You go through the grass, you go through the swamp, and, swishy swashy through the grass and splurch splurch through the swamp, and then you come to the deep, dark forest, right? It's dark, it's hard to see. So what do you do when you go through the forest? What do you do? Who knows? What do you do when you go through the forest? Stumble, trip, stumble, trip, stumble, trip, right? You keep tripping up because it's dark. You can't see. In your light, do we see light? If we don't have his light, as we live out our lives, we stumble, trip, stumble, trip, stumble, trip. This affects everything for us. Our relationships, our marriages. In his light, are we able to live out our friendships, our relationships, our marriages? With his light shining down upon us, we know how to live. Now, we won't do it perfectly still, but we have his light giving us guidance, giving us wisdom, helping us walk along in our marriages, in our relationships, in our child rearing. Man, we can't do this alone, right? We need your light to shine down upon us. We need Jesus, the light of the world, to give us wisdom in the way that we raise our children, the way that we study, in the way that we work, in the way that we play. We need his light to shine down upon our understanding of our sexuality, right? When darkness pervades in our understanding of our sexuality, what happens? We see what happens in the world around us, right? Confusion. In the darkness, there's confusion. But when we have Jesus, the light of the world, shining down upon us, we no longer stumble, trip, stumble, trip, stumble, trip. We walk in his light because he is the source of light and guidance and truth. So what does it mean when Jesus is called the light? He alone gives life. He alone delivers us from the darkness in our own hearts and the darkness around us. And he alone provides the guidance we need to live out our days in our lives here. So that's first what it means that Jesus is light. Secondly, what is your response to the light of the world? Only two responses. We've already considered from nature the sun shining down upon us. Another aspect of nature, bugs, right? Some bugs are attracted to the darkness. If you're going fishing and you're looking for a worm, where do you go? You pick up the rock, the log, right? And when you pick it up, you see all these roly-polies and certain bugs there scurrying into the shadows. And then if you come to my living room at night and our light's on by the back window, all these moths, right, pounding against the window, wondering if they're actually going to break the window as they're coming for the light. Some bugs are attracted to darkness, some to the light. And here, too, we see only two responses to the light. In verses 10 and 11, some scurry into the shadows, avoiding Jesus, who is the life. And then near the end of the passage, 12 and 13, some receive and believe, which is a picture of basking in the sun, moving towards the light. So first, verses 10 and 11, scurrying to the shadows. J.C. Ryle says this on this text. He, Jesus, shines for the common benefit for all mankind. If millions of mankind were mad enough or crazy enough to dwell in caves underground and bandage their eyes, their darkness would be their own fault and not the fault of the sun. Whether or not people will see or not, Christ is the true sun and the light of the world. If people remain in darkness, it is not because there is no illumination, but because they deliberately prefer the darkness. Jesus shines down upon this world. Jesus reveals himself through creation, through his word, through his work in this world. But if millions bandage their eyes and run to the caves, it doesn't mean, just because so many people around us are not looking in the light, are running from the light, don't want to see the light, does not mean that the light is not shining. Jesus is making himself known. He's shining on this world. He's doing his work. But some love darkness rather than the light, as Paul says in Romans, because their deeds were evil, their foolish hearts were darkened. The light shines, some scurry into the shadows. It's not just they don't see the light, it's a moral choice, right? Look at verse 10. There's responsibility being pointed to here. He was in the world, speaking of Jesus. He came to the world, and the world was made through him. The one who made the world came into the world, yet the world did not know him. This is ironic, right? Unexpected outcome. How could the Creator come into his creation and not be known, not be recognized? They refuse to see him as he is, the light of the world, who brings life, who brings salvation in their darkness, who brings guidance and knowledge and truth. They refuse to see him even as his creatures. But then it's even taken up another notch in verse 11. Not only do these creatures not acknowledge the Creator, but God's covenant people, those who receive this special revelation from God, special promises from God, and now have received the Messiah, we could say, even they do not receive him, do not acknowledge him. So it's bumped up a notch. God picked Abraham, right? We know our Old Testament history. He picked a man in the Old Testament. He picked a people to give special covenant promises, to give special practices so that they know God better, to give his very revelation, his word. He picked these people. And John, as he comes, in John 1, he says, even these people who have received this special action from God, even though they received these things, they did not receive the one God sent. They did not receive Jesus as he has come. So people spurn their Creator, and then they spurn their covenant God. The light shines. People run to the caves, hiding their eyes. So how do we tonight receive this? How do we step back and look at our own hearts as we ask ourselves, how are we responding to Jesus as the light of the world? What does it look like to receive him? What does it look like to reject him? How do we know? There's only two ways, only two categories here mentioned. How do we know how we are responding to Jesus? How do we know if we're scurrying into the shadows or if we're running towards the light? Just a few questions here for you to examine your own heart. What do you love? What do you love? Do you have a desire in your heart to be in the light as he is in the light? Do you have a desire in your heart to be in the light, to be known Do you want to do you want your light to shine? Do you want light to shine in your heart and expose things in your heart? Even unattractive things, negative things, maybe sin that's there, or selfishness. Do you want that to happen? Do you want the light of God's truth, the light of Jesus, to shine down and show your heart to God, or do you want to hide these things from God? Or maybe we could ask ourselves, how do we view Jesus, the one who is the light of the world? Do you see how he brings an accurate take on life? Do you understand the deliverance he brings? Do you understand the life he brings? How does he impact your day-to-day living? Have you received Jesus in this way that you walk with Jesus? How is he a part of your daily life? Do you walk in his light, willing for your heart to be exposed, your sinfulness to be seen by God, and willing to bring that to God in repentance and walk with him in faith? How do we know if we've received him? It doesn't mean we've come to this point of perfect obedience and perfection. But it does mean we see Jesus, we love Jesus, we want to be like him even as we continue to live in sin, live in our weakness, and we're drawn through Jesus, we're drawn to expose our hearts in repentance, to lay our sin on the table. We don't want to hide, we want to bring it into the light. And from repentance and faith in Jesus, walk forward and grow, be transformed more and more into his likeness. The writer, the gospel writer Matthew says this as Jesus is coming. This is how he describes his entrance. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. And then he said, from that time Jesus began to preach. The light has come into the world, into the realm of darkness and the shadows. So first, there are those who scurry into the shadows, verses 10 and 11. Now verses 12 and 13, we see those moving towards the light. And even here we see the initiating grace of God. Let me read verses 12 and 13. But to all who did receive him, Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now you see, I believe you see some of these themes come together. This born again theme points to life, light and life coming together. Those who receive Jesus are born again into a new life, are given a new identity, and through salvation are delivered from darkness and become a part of the very family of God. So now being born not of the flesh nor of the will of man, it's a real dynamic change, a new birth that happens that brings real change in a person's life. Now they have God as their Father, so their lives are completely changed, taken out of the chaos, taken out of the darkness, as God as their Father. They have security. With God as their Father, in a sense, they have control on their lives as they trust in him. It changes everything as they're brought into the light, brought into the family of God. It affects our fears. It affects what we worry about. It affects our families. It affects our loves. We are brought into the family of God. Those who believe in him, those who trust in Jesus, who receive his revelation, receive his truth, are dynamically changed, brought into the family of God. Now later in the New Testament, the same writer, the Apostle John, says this, pointing to our adoption and all that we have in Christ. He says in 1 John 3, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are." This is true. He says, so we are. "The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now." The dynamic changes happen now. We are brought into the family of God now. We are God's children now. "And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes," who hopes in what's in the future, "everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. How do we respond to Jesus? Those who receive him, who believe in him, are dynamically changed, given new birth, brought into the family of God. And this process starts in our lives where even as we hope for what we don't even know what it's going to look like. We know it's going to be good. What will be has not yet appeared to us. We're still unsure, but we know it will be good. We'll be made like Jesus. We're made perfect in glory like Jesus. And as we hope for that, we are being purified as he himself is pure. So I challenge you from this text to consider how you have responded to Jesus. Scurrying into the shadows, greater chaos, greater darkness, greater wickedness reigning in one's heart, greater selfishness, are responding in repentance and faith to the light that shines, knowing that we are dynamically changed through the new birth that God gives. Let me just close with a few thoughts here from this. Number one, you who know and have come to the light, see the goodness of walking in light, see the beauty of the light, and draw closer to him. As we go from here, we go to live our lives, day to day living, how often we are tempted to go back to the darkness, how often we are tempted to hide in the shadows, how often we are tempted in various ways to do things that we know we're going to want to hide from our God. But you who know and have come to the light, see the goodness of walking in the light. It's life, it's salvation, it's guidance and truth, and draw closer to him. Now we do this. This is obvious application, probably application you could have in every sermon, right? How do we bring this into our lives? We pray to the one who is the light. We pray for guidance. We pray for his impact in our lives. And we go to his word, his revelation. We are people of the word, longing to receive guidance from the Spirit as we open up the word, longing for his light to shine upon us. As we read the word and our hearts are exposed, we see certain things, we bring those to our God in repentance and faith. The light of the word shining down upon us, changing us. So you who know and have come to the light, see the goodness of walking in the light, the beauty of the light, and draw closer to him. Secondly, you who have come to the light, know your calling of sharing this light with others. You who have been changed, born again, is the theme here. You who have been changed in this way, let your light shine to the world around you through the way that you work, the way that you live, the way that you operate in your marriage and your family. Shine, as Paul says to the Philippians, as stars in the universe. Like John the Baptist in the text, which we did not look at, he bore witness to the light. His life was one of pointing others to Christ, to the one who is the light. And then third, I ask you in closing to consider the work of Jesus, the light of the world, the one who is the life, how he came into our chaos and darkness and hung on the tree, hung on the cross in the midst of complete darkness for 3 hours. So that, as Peter says, so that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He was able to deliver us, so we get to live to proclaim his excellencies. We who have received him, who have believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So we go forth. We go forth sharing the light of Christ with others. As we open the service, Jesus said, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. No, we get to live in the life. We get to live in the midst of our salvation, our deliverance from the chaos around us, the chaos within us, the darkness within us. We get to live with the guidance of his Spirit, the one who gives light to our very steps. Jesus as the light of the world. Let's pray.